Well, thank you, everyone. I read in a book that there is about 100 or almost 100 churches, denominations, movements claiming descendancy from the church that Joseph Smith founded. Whether that's 100 in total from then till now or 100 active, I'm not sure. But there's a lot, you know. And they all disagree with each other. They all have, or most have, prophets, and these prophets have revelations, and each revelation contradicts the revelation from a prophet elsewhere. In fact, in one of the LDS churches, the prophets contradict each other. You go back from one prophet to the next, there's a lack of continuity. If that was a TV show, you would have stopped watching a long time ago. It makes no sense. But what all these churches do have in common is the Book of Mormon. And what all these churches will tell you, the people who've read the Book of Mormon, is they will tell you that they believe in the Book of Mormon because the Holy Spirit confirmed that to them. Well, if there's 100 different churches, the Holy Spirit obviously isn't confirming anything else other than the Book of Mormon. So when I received the Book of Mormon, I was given it by a missionary in the street. And they asked me, you know, will you read this? He made me promise them, will you read this? And before I'd even started reading it, I just opened it up, holding it in my hand, like just instant knowledge. I knew it was true. I read it, but I knew it was true. The same as if you look outside, you know the sky is blue. Everything else in the church was a choice. I chose to believe that Brigham Young continued the priesthood or authority. I chose to believe at that time Gordon B. Hinckley was a current prophet. Those were choices, and choices aren't belief. Choices aren't truth. They're just choices. But I knew the Book of Mormon was true. And for years, for about 16, 17 years, I was not too sure about the church. I'm forcing myself to attend things and do things, and it was always eating away at me. You know, I had this feeling that this isn't right. And finally, I found fellowship, which I assume most of, if not all members, people here are a member of. And I felt that truth again. You know, from just watching a couple of videos online, you know, some interviews and a conference, I felt the Holy Ghost say, this is where you're supposed to be. So I've only had that twice. I've only had that knowledge, this is true, twice. With the Book of Mormon and with the fellowship. But I don't want to talk about the fellowship too much because it's the Book of Mormon that is, which is important. Out of these 100 churches, they will all tell you that they are the only one who has the right to give out the Book of Mormon. They're the only ones who has the right to tell you what the Book of Mormon says. They are the only ones who has the right to interpret the Book of Mormon. But when you look at those teachings and compare it to the Book of Mormon, most if not all of those churches are telling you things that are not in the Book of Mormon. Before I joined the LDS Church, I was a Roman Catholic. And I left the Roman Catholic Church because I decided to read the Bible and I found that the things that the Roman Catholics taught me was not in the Bible. Just from using your own eyes and your own mind, you can see the heresy. You can see the BS. Alexander spoke earlier. He gave a statement from a friend of mine, Andrew Bolton, that says that what he likes about the Book of Mormon is this message of social justice. Now, nowadays, in the modern age, when people hear social justice, they think about a lot of issues that might not necessarily be traditionally what Christians believe in. But social justice is much more than that. Social justice, I think, in a way, is fighting for the underdog. You know, helping the people who need help, who need to be brought out of these mind-controlling, time-controlling organizations. Some recent examples from history would be the foundation in the United States of America itself, from which many of you are from. You know, the people went to America to flee the tyrants that were the kings and queens of Europe, and eventually managed to get out of the control of a tyrant king in order to found the states in the first place. That was social justice. That was social justice for the American people. When Adolf Hitler rose up in the 1930s and brought his Nazi war machine across Europe and the West rose up against them, they were fighting for social justice. In the Book of Mormon, we have examples of social justice right down to the very beginning when Lehi had his vision and he went to preach to a corrupt organization. He got laughed at, he got stoned, and God interacted on humankind's behalf and moved them out of the situation, took them across to the Americas. That was God fighting for the underdog. That was God giving us social justice. Then you have the fights, the back and forth between the Lamanites and the Nephites. Sometimes some were in the wrong, sometimes others were in the wrong. But it's always been underpinned. The poor man is the person you need to protect. The person who is the most vulnerable is the person that needs your protection. Now, in this day and age, there are so many people in these churches round about the world believe in their interpretation of the Book of Mormon and believing that their leaders are the correct leaders with what they say, they're blinded to the truth. They're blinded to the simple message that is in the Book of Mormon. You can go into Waterstones, W.H. Smith, and pick up a Penguin copy of the Book of Mormon. You do not have to be a Mormon to read it. And that person picking it up off a bookshelf and reading it will probably have a better understanding of what it actually says than anyone who's brought up in a church being told what it says. We do not have prophets. We do not have apostles. We do not have members of the 70. We do not have general authorities. We don't have bishops. We have ourselves. Some inspire us. Some will inspire us. Some have written books. Some will write books. We're here to talk to each other. We're here to discover the truth, which is found in the Book of Mormon. And through the fact that you can speak to God today yourself without anyone in the middle, and we can learn the truth, and we can share it with each other. I was at a friend's house recently, an old bishop of mine's, and he told me this story. He told me this story about a man who used to attend a ward he was in, who would every morning shake your hand. If you turned up at church on a Sunday, he would shake your hand and he would say, "How are you?" Now in Scotland, if you say to someone, "How are you?" it's just saying hello. And the answer would be traditionally, "I am all right." That's hello back. So they're saying hello, hello. But this guy would shake his hand and say, "How are you?" He would say, "I am all right." He would keep a hold of your hand and say, "No, how are you? And how can I help? I've just spent the best part of a week with most of the people in this room on a trip that started in Leeds and went up to Orkney and back down here. And I saw, and I'm not naming names, but I saw people genuinely fellowshipping with people following those two bits, you know, those two questions. How are you and how can I help you? Yesterday I was sick as a dog, spent most of the day sleeping in the car. Everyone was out, you know, doing a tourist thing, but still coming in, checking on me. You know, the concern was real. They genuinely cared. That's fellowshipping. We're called to fellowship. We need to fellowship. I hope, I genuinely do hope that we can achieve in the Americas and here in Britain a fellowship where we can rely on each other, where we're not putting anyone in the position of bishop or prophet, where we don't need to pick up a phone or go on the internet to contact someone and take them away from their life and their time to settle something that we can settle ourselves through discussing things with ourselves, with the people involved in the situation. A lot of people have sacrificed a lot so far for this fellowship to get where it is. The work's been getting done in the States for, the last 10 years, perhaps. Now it's going to start over here. And then we'll go wherever the Lord takes us. So I'll end this talk just by reminding everyone, none of us would be here without the Book of Mormon. We're not here because of the LDS Church, even if you were brought up in the LDS Church. That's not where your knowledge of its truthfulness comes from. Let's go back to basics. If that's the only book that you ever read in your entire life, you'll do well. There's a nuclear holocaust, and that's the only book that survives humanity's greatest irons instantly create, because that's the only source of information they have to build upon. So I implore you, please read the Book of Mormon and read it non-biasedly. Read it without man-made precepts that's previously been inserted into your head. And then let's build upon that foundation to create fellowships around the world and then eventually Zion. Thank you for your time. Thank you.